I want us to go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we begin. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together, even if it's virtually, by Facebook Live. Father, we've been here before, and here we are again, for a different reason now, Lord, but still, we thank you that we can come together over your word. And I pray that you would bless the reading of your word today, and I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, and help us, God, to listen to what you would have to say to our hearts for the glory of God. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to read a passage to you this morning, probably one of the most well-known verses of Scripture in all of the Bible. It's an Old Testament verse of Scripture that's often used in times of revival or when a preacher is preaching on the subject of revival, which really should be an ongoing thing because we do need ongoing revival. But I want to read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You probably already guessed that. And it says this, once again, "If my people," God is speaking here, "which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So as we think about this passage of Scripture this morning, the title of today's message is simply, "My People." My People. Now, this morning really provided for me an opportunity to preach this particular all-important passage. Now, there's so much we could say about it, and I certainly will not be able to say it all this morning. And we've been here before, but hopefully we'll add some things that we've not maybe considered before as we've considered this passage and this verse of Scripture. But I deem it a good opportunity to preach this passage because I did have another passage that was planned. It was actually a sum of everything we've been talking about. Today's the last day of the month, so it was a sum of all that we've been talking about in January in regard to our theme word or our word of the month, which, of course, was and is humility. And so I had another passage of Scripture that we will do next week, and we'll also observe communion next week, which we were going to do this morning. So we're going to do all that next week, but it really was a good opportunity because as I read over this passage on Friday during my prayer time, I thought this would have been a great message to add to that series of messages in regard to humility. And so God provided this grand opportunity for us to do so this morning. So I want us to consider this great Old Testament passage, which really does have absolute application for the church today. The first three words of verse 14, "If my people," tell us that it is for us. It is for the church. Many would say, well, this is an Old Testament passage, and it was really for Israel because it refers to God healing their land, and God dealt with them by giving them land and all of that. So there's a differentiation between Israel and the church. Well, be that as it is, when we read the words, "if my people," the words "my people," which again is the title of today's message, the words "my people" indicate, since God is the God of the Old Testament and the New, He never changes, and He has the same requirements that He had for Israel as far as our lives go, we need to understand that it is for us today. It is not just something that Israel should have been concerned about. It is for us. So I want us to look at this particular passage today and consider two things. And again, we've considered many things before from this passage, not just verse 14, but from the verses around it, the entire passage. And we've also just looked at this verse before. But as we look at verse 14 once again, there are a couple of things that I want us to consider. Number one, the "we," and number two, the "he." So the "we" and the "he." So I want us to think about that this morning. Let's start with, of course, the "we." That's where the passage starts, and that's who it starts with. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That is the we. That is us. It was Israel. It is the church. We are God's people. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. Just as God called Israel out of a world of people, so he calls us out of a world of people. Now, there are many more people today on this earth than there were when God was dealing with Israel, when this was originally written. But still, God calls us out, and we're a small percentage, really. Those who are called out, the church, are a small percentage of the earth's population. We are called out. We're the ecclesia. We're the chosen ones. As God chose Israel, so he chooses us. You see, when God dealt with Israel, called them into covenant relationship with himself, he then, decades and centuries later, in due process of time, according to God's plan of salvation, he enlarged the covenant of grace that was ratified in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. We know that he enlarged that covenant to include the body of Christ, to include the people of God, to include Gentiles other than Jews. We are God's people. So let's establish that to begin with. If my people, that's us, which are called by my name, and we indeed are. We've been chosen by God. We've been saved by the blood of Christ. We belong to the body of Christ. He tells us that we must humble ourselves, just as he told Israel when he called them back so many times to himself. He calls the church so many times back to himself, and we must humble ourselves. Again, that is the word of the month, the word humility. So we must humble ourselves. That is our responsibility. That's not something that God does for us. Now, it's because of his grace and mercy that we can humble ourselves, but we indeed must humble ourselves. We must bring ourselves low. Now, we know that the lost world around us, they've not come to Christ. They're like sheep just wandering around. But we too, as God's people, are many times like the sheep. God compares us to sheep in the scripture, Old Testament and New. And so we, like sheep, we do go astray and we do wander from God because we still deal with this old flesh and we are susceptible to the allurements and to the temptations of the evil one. We live in a wicked world, and unless we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might all the time, then we will easily wander away. Now, God wants us to be strong. He wants us to resist temptation, and we should, but so many times, even the best of the best do wander away. Now, we know this in regard to humility. We must humble ourselves, as he says here. We know that we should always be humble, not just humble ourselves just when we do bad things and stray away from God, wander away from God, and we come back to him. We humble ourselves. We get low before him. We've been talking about this all month long. But we know that we must stay humble. Stay that way. It's not just something we do one time and we're good to go. It is something we must continue to do. And if we have to come back to him, then we have to make sure that we stay humble before him, because it is so easily to not be lowly anymore. It's so easily to misunderstand what our position is before God. It's so easy to let pride enter into our hearts and lives and swell up in us and well up in us to the point of us just not looking to God and depending on him anymore. But he says that we need to humble ourselves. That is our responsibility. He says that we must pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Well, prayer is something we've talked about. It's something that Christians should know much about. It's one of the most important things we can do. Prayer is simply calling on God. It is simply communing with God. It is having conversation with God. And when we pray, of course, we know that God speaks to us by his Spirit through his Word. So that's what prayer is. And it's what Christ provided for. And it indeed is a privilege for us to be able to come to God in prayer, to commune with God, to call on God, to converse with God. It's a privilege. Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb after he died there on that old rugged cross. And he rose from the grave and he lives forevermore. And he saves people and brings them into the body of Christ. And he enables us to not just be a part of an organization. The church is an organization, but it's an organism. It's alive. It's people. It's not a building. It's people. He calls us into this group, the body of Christ. And he gives us the privilege not only just to be a part and have the security of knowing that we have eternal life with him in heaven one day, but that we have the privilege of praying to him and calling upon him all the time. Not just at certain times, but all the time. We can come to God through Christ any time of the day or night. And we indeed should. So we must humble ourselves, we must pray. And we should continuously do that, even if we're walking with God, yes, but especially if we strayed away from God and wandered away from God. And I do think that that is a problem today in the church. I do that think that that's a problem today among Baptist churches. I think it's a problem here at Riverside Baptist Church. I think we've wandered away from God, and we often do. So we must humble ourselves and pray. And then he says we must seek His face. We must seek the face of God. We must, and I know he's using this terminology that sounds very similar to what he just said in that we should pray. And of course, there is that vital connection. But there's all kinds of prayer, and there's all kinds of ways that we can describe prayer. Seeking God's face is indeed one of them. And when I think about seeking, I guess we could define seeking God's face in many different ways. But when I think about seeking God, I do think about crying out to God, but I think about realizing our desperation for Him, for God Almighty. And I think about seeking God for His perspective, because our perspective really doesn't cut the mustard. It doesn't please God. It doesn't give us the right kind of success, spiritual, biblical success. So we need God's perspective, which indeed is a biblical or the biblical perspective. Oftentimes we refer to that as BP, biblical perspective. We need BP, not the service station, not the gas company, but we need biblical perspective. So many times in our lives, actually every moment of our lives, we need God's perspective or biblical perspective. So seeking God's face simply is saying, God, I don't know. And certainly when we stray away from God, wander away from God, we certainly get ourselves in a mess. And we have to turn to God and say, God, I don't know. God, you help me. You give me your perspective. And then he says this, we must turn. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We must repent. Now we know that lost people, when they come to Christ, they always come in repentance. They don't come making a deal with God, saying, God, yeah, I'll take your salvation, but I'm going to hold on to my previous life as well. I've got some things, or life as well. I've got some things that I just cannot let go of. So I'm going to hold on to that life, and I'm going to bring it with me as I come into the kingdom. No, it doesn't work that way. You repent, you throw that away, you turn to God. So lost people, when they come to Christ, come by turning away from their sinful life, their life of lostness, and they come to Christ. But even the church, if my people, which are called by my name, even the church has need to repent, to forsake our ways, and to embrace God's ways. When our ways are contrary to His, and they always are. According to Isaiah 55, we know that is the case. Our ways are always contrary to His ways. Now, if we embrace His ways and begin to walk with Him, then, of course, there's nothing to repent from. You just keep going with God. But often we get away from that, even as Christians who've walked with God for years. In some way or another, we tend to go our way. We tend to want to insert our thoughts or our perspective in regard to whatever we're doing, whatever we're deciding on as people and even as the church. But if we seek God's Word, which that is seeking God's face, seeking His perspective, His Word. If we seek God's Word, then we are turned away from and we reject the world's thoughts and the world's ways. That's what we should do. So, God tells us here in this passage, in the first part of this verse, verse 14, He says to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek His face, to turn. To humble, pray, seek, and turn. Here's our acronym for the day, HPST. Humble, pray, seek, turn. Humility, prayer, seeking, and turning. That is what we need to remember today in regard to ourselves, in regard to our responsibility. When we think of all that we've been talking about lately, in coming to Christ and falling before Him, as John the Apostle did on the Isle of Patmos, as he fell at Jesus' feet, as Isaiah did in Isaiah 6 when he was touched by the hot coal, having said, I'm a sinful man, I live in the midst of a sinful bunch of people. We know that God touches us, raises us up when we humble ourselves in His sight under His hand. We've been talking about those things. So that is humility, prayer, seeking His face, and turning away from everything that would keep us from God, our wicked ways. Now, again, we must be here, HPST. We must maintain a position there, humility, prayer, seeking Him, and turning away from everything else. And we must, if we've gotten away from God, we must get back there. So many times we turn, again, away from God, and humility goes out the window. Our prayer life is hindered. We're no longer seeking God's perspective, and we've turned the other way. Well, He says to do it differently. He says to come back to Him. Another way to put this is turn around, fall down, cry out, and ask for. That's exactly what we're told here, what we're taught here in this wonderful passage as far as our responsibility goes. Again, turn around, fall down, cry out, and ask for. That's a pretty good way to summate this and to look at this. Or to make it more concise, turn to, fall before, and commune with. We could just make it three things there. Turn to, fall before, commune with. That's our privilege. And that's what we've been dealing with for this month. Now, here's a picture or an illustration. What if in church one Sunday, I said this, all of those who have strayed away from God and who have wandered, fall down. All of those who have turned their backs on God and want to turn back to Him, fall down. And the rest of you just keep standing. I wonder what it would look like. How many people would be standing looking around like, what are all these nuts on the ground for? While the people that truly seek God. And even if you're walking with God at the time and are not wandered away from God, those who are humble before God would be part of those who fall before God because their hearts are with God. So what if that were the call? What if that were the plea this morning? Fall down if you want to come back to God. How many people would be standing still and how many would fall? You know, Moses said it a different way in the book of Exodus. He said, all of those who are on the Lord's side, come over here with me, if you remember that. I think it's Exodus 32. Well, that's like saying, okay, I'm drawing a line in the sand. Everybody that wants to be here with me on this team, with this perspective, then come over here. But what if we said it this way? What if we said, in regard to what we're seeing here and what we've talked about this month, what if we said, all of those who've strayed away and wandered away and want to come back, fall down? How many would be left standing? I think that position for us of falling down before God in humility is the place we need to start. Yes, God raises us up, and we begin to walk with Him. If we stay with Him, we stay in a position of humility while walking with God. But it is when we get away from God that we need to come back and fall down again and get before Him. Perhaps the church needs to do that this morning. I know you're looking at me through a computer screen or a phone screen this morning, and you may look at it after a while. I've got Vic and Linda, Doug and myself here, nobody else as far as I know. I know it's different, but the call and the necessity is still the same. How many of us truly will answer that call to fall down before God? Will we fall down as we turn around, cry out and ask for? Will we turn to, fall before, and commune with God? Will we obey what God says? Will we answer this call on our lives this morning? So we look at the we factor. Let's talk about the he part. Because the verse goes on to say this. After it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. It says then. That's conditional. It's situational. That is an answer to what is required of God by God. Then, he says, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is what God will do. He says in verse 15, my eyes shall be open, my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So what is God doing? And by the way, the he here that I'm talking about indeed is God. And he's speaking here in first person. It is God speaking. If my people, referring to himself. And he speaks here with stipulations and conditions. If you do this, then I will do this. God will always do what he says he will do. And without God, we can never do even what we're told to do. We know that. It's by his grace and mercy that we do anything, that we even fall down before him. But he'll always answer the way he says he will answer. He'll always respond in the way he says he'll respond. He says that he will hear from heaven. Then God will hear from heaven. He will be attentive unto our prayers as we pray to him. He will hear. And it says that he will forgive. He will pardon us. Although we are undeserving, our pardoning and our forgiveness has been provided for. Listen to me. When God wrote this, when God spoke this, and even before this time, when Israel walked with God and strayed away from God, he called them back, he punished them, he disciplined them, he dealt with them, and they repented. And over again that happened. He was so patient with them, as he is the church, as he is his people, always. We know that when he was dealing with Israel during this time, that whether they understood it fully or not, they were looking to the future. And they were looking dead at a hill called Mount Calvary, Golgotha. And they were looking at an old rugged cross, three of them actually. But in the middle there was one, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, who was slain there. Whereby God unleashed his wrath there on that day on that cross, and he paid the price for our sins. And it was good for all the sins of the saints in the past who walked with God. Some of them did not. And it's good for all on this side of the cross who are called by God, who walk with God. God will hear our prayers. He will forgive or pardon us through what Christ provided on the cross of Calvary, both for Old Testament Israel and for the New Testament church. For all of us, God forgives. Thank God for his forgiveness. So God hears, he forgives, and then the Bible says, then God will heal our land. Now we could talk about that, I guess, for a long time. But when I think about God healing our land, I often think about America. And I know that God is not speaking to America here. He is speaking to his people. Now, there are his people in America, just as there are his people in China and in Nigeria and in Moscow and in Paris and in all of these cities and countries across this globe, Europe, Asia, Africa, all of them. God has people everywhere, and we are praying that that number would grow as we send missionaries out to preach the gospel. We want to see the world evangelized and come to Christ. But we know that God does have people in America, and He has a holy nation in America. Not that America is the holy nation, but America was founded on biblical principles, which is how a nation should be founded. But actually, it's the church that should stand up in the midst of it and be counted and be influential. Now, I know that God dealt with Israel by giving them land and healing their land. And I know that God deals with us today by healing and restoring. It's not so much that God is giving us land, although we do influence the land and the people of the land. And God does give things. Yes, He does. But for us, it's all about God hearing and forgiving still and healing and restoring. Restoring people to where they need to be in right relationship with Him so that we can be an influence and a blessing to the world around us. But here's the thing. As much as we know that He, that is God, will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land, as much as we know that God will respond to us, we need to understand why He needs to. Now, again, we could talk about the condition of the church for a long time. But let me just put it this way, and this is something God just reminded me of last Friday as I was praying. I think that the church has experienced what I would call the Tobiah syndrome. And you've heard me refer to Tobiah before. The Tobiah syndrome. Now, Tobiah was an enemy of God that we read about in the great book of Nehemiah. He was in league with Sanballat and with Geshem, others perhaps, and they were trying to pull Nehemiah and the children of God away from doing what God had called them to do. So, Tobiah was one of those men. I think the church has experienced and sometimes is still experiencing in a large way the Tobiah syndrome. In chapter 13 of Nehemiah, verses 4 through 9, the scripture says this. This is at the end of the book. And before this, Eliashib, the priest, the one who should have known better, the one who was supposed to be close to God, one of God's people, one of God's leaders, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight, listen to this responsibility, of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. He was connected to the enemy. Somebody on the inside was connected to somebody from the outside. Now that's when it really hurts. And he had prepared for him, that is Eliashib the priest, had prepared for Tobiah a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offerings of the priests. Now, that's a lot of stuff. You say, well, what is all that? Well, that was just material that God had His people to store in a certain place in the house of God in a chamber for the work of the ministry, for God's plan, in God's economy. It was all God's way of doing things. Verse 6 says, but in all of this was not I at Jerusalem, Nehemiah speaking, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. So he heard about it, obviously, and he came back to Jerusalem. And I came to Jerusalem and understood the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. And of course, Scripture goes on as far as the reforms of Nehemiah. and how he cleaned house and so forth. But getting back to the syndrome, the Tobias syndrome, sometimes I think the church has experienced the Tobias syndrome in that we have been in league with the world, just as Eliashib was here, a leader, I should say, in the house of the Lord, was allied with the enemy and made a nest for him where God's things were supposed to be stored. It was a place set aside for God. Now, I know that God doesn't demand or command that we have certain buildings built a certain way with certain furnishings and all that stuff anymore, because those are just relics. It's not that the building that we're now in or any church building is the house of God. It is that we are the house of God. Yes, that's the fulfillment thereof. But in that dispensation, God had rules and regulations as far as how His house, His physical place, was to be run. And it wasn't run right. Just as we sometimes allow things in the church and in our hearts and minds that are outside, and it takes us away from God, and it poisons and pollutes us and makes us have the grand need to fall down before Him again, to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek His face and to turn from all of our wicked ways. We too experience the Tobias syndrome in that we make a nest for the world, and that's not good. We need to be as Nehemiah and clean that out of our lives and come back to God. In closing, and we could go on and on, how profound this passage is, how profound the passage there in Nehemiah is, how profound this book is, the entire Word of God. But we could go on and on. Let me just conclude here. The Scripture tells us here that God hears from heaven. God's in heaven. He's in that place of paradise, that place of bliss, that place of purity. And we are those who are forgiven by this holy God who hears from heaven. He forgives our sins. We are here on this sinful earth, and we're sinful people. But what does He do as He hears from heaven for these sinful people as He forgives us? He heals our land. He makes us and the things around us more like heaven where He is. So you see the picture here. He's hearing from heaven. He's forgiving sinful people. And He's making these sinful people on the sinful earth, He's making at least a small part of it more like heaven where He's hearing us from. And that's the picture that we need to portray. That's the picture that we need to live out as we turn back to God. We hear from the God of heaven, and we're forgiven from our sins, and we're made right with God as we fall before Him, as we humble ourselves and pray to Him, and He heals us and He restores us, and we get together as the people of God, and we go forward, and we bring our own atmosphere with us, the atmosphere of heaven, because that's where God's hearing us from. He's put us here on this earth to make a difference, to be representatives. We've talked about that. We'll continue to. But may that be the case for us. May we humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, and know that He will hear. He'll forgive us. He'll heal our land. He'll bless us. He'll restore us. May that be the case for the church that is in such need of this kind of revival. And I think we'd all agree that we are in need of this revival. May God's Word go forth today and touch hearts of those who are lost, who do not know Him as Lord and Savior. May their hearts be changed. May they be born again. I pray for you if you're watching today and God is speaking to your heart and you know that you're away from God, you need to come to God for the first time. My prayer is that you would come, that you would turn away from all the wickedness that binds you, and you would fall at the feet of Jesus and call upon Him and be saved. And realize that He died for you on the cross. He rose from the grave. He lives and He saves. He'll save your soul. Would you come to Him? And if you do that today, you don't have to run to the church house and come down to the altar, what we call an altar, or come to the preacher even. You just have to call on the name of the Lord in sincerity. But if that happens, I do want you to let me know about it. I do want you to be a part of this church or some church somewhere. Let that be known. Seek somebody out who can help you and connect you to a church so that you can be baptized and be a part of the church. That's my prayer for you today as a lost person. But as the church today, may we once again view this passage. We've seen it so many times. May we view it afresh and anew today. And may we obey what God says. Let's turn to Him because He's the answer. Father, we thank You. We love You. We thank You that God, as the title says, as the Scripture says, we are Your people. If my people, You say, Lord, we are Your people. So we turn away from all that binds us and all that comes in between us, all that we've been chasing after. We turn from it, from our wicked ways, and we turn to You, God. We fall before You. We cry out to You once again. We ask You to forgive. And we know that You will. You'll hear us and forgive us and heal us. So, Lord, do that work in our lives. Bring great revival to Your church. And we will give You the praise and the honor and the glory as we continue to seek You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you and have a great day and stay safe.